And Acts 27, last week we found Paul and the company in the midst of a great storm, and tonight we'll finish up chapter 27. And for those of you who are in youth group, welcome, teenagers, and we're glad that you're here. But we have been studying on Wednesday night for a long time the book of Acts, and we're almost done. After tonight, one more chapter, two more lessons. So we'll be done by the end of the month. But just as a way of review, last week we saw Paul as he was under the centurion Julius's protection. They started on their journey from Caesarea to Rome. And after they boarded their second ship, Paul warned them that they should seek a place to winter, because it was no longer safe to sail. So, of course, they did not heed Paul's warning and started out on a short, what should have been, a short half-day journey. And remember, we kind of talked about how it reminded us of Gilligan's Island. They were only supposed to be on a three-hour tour, but, it was only supposed to take a short time to get there. But we're going to find out they wound up being in a two-week storm. So they were now in the midst of this large storm. They had to throw everything overboard. We've seen that already. They had to undergird the ship. They had to take down the sail, and they were at the mercy of the sea and the wind. And this went on for days. And eventually we learned, again, we'll learn for two whole weeks, but all hope was lost. You know, and that's where we left off last week in verse 20. Where the end of verse 20 says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So all hope was gone. They're in a hopeless situation. So imagine yourself being on a boat and, you know, these very seasoned, very professional sailors don't know what to do, you know, and you don't know what to do because you're not a sailor and you're, you know, hopeless and helpless situation. Imagine what these sailors felt like. You know, nothing we're doing is working. Everything they knew about sailing wasn't working. Imagine the brave Roman centurion and his soldiers doing their duty, but still being found in the same hopeless and helpless situation. Imagine what the other prisoners felt like. Remember, Paul wasn't the only prisoner there. Imagine what the other prisoners felt like, you know. They're on their way to Rome as prisoners to probably be either executed or put on trial, and they can't even enjoy one last nice sail on the ocean. And when all hope is gone, Paul appears. But Paul appears with a message directly from the Lord. And friends, the Lord and His Word always brings hope and help in our storms. Always. And remember that. Okay, so let's look at it. And let's look first off at the value of the storm. Follow with me. I'm going to read verses 21 to 29, Acts 27. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Did anybody ever say something to you? I told you so. You ever have somebody say that? Don't you hate that? You guys look tired tonight. Come on. You know, don't you hate that? I told you so. I don't like to say I told you so to people because I don't like to hear I told you so. But Paul basically comes up and says, I told you so. And now, verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Something really is going on here. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down the Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Okay, so a little bit of sailing things here. Fathoms, sounding, you know, they're trying to figure out how deep the water is. And as the water's getting shallower, they realize they're coming upon the land. And they're realizing they don't want to get crashed into the rocks. So they cast four anchors out of the stern. Okay, who knows where the stern of the boat is? Anybody? The back. Stern drive, if you have a stern drive, where, you know, so the back of the boat, they cast these four anchors out of the back and they wait, okay? Stern, bow, I don't know which is port, and port's left, and the other side is what? Starboard, okay, there you go. So why they can't say left and right, you know, but I guess it depends which way you're facing, so. But anyway, so the value of a storm. Paul exhorts the sailors with the fact that God had comforted him with his promises, okay? So remember this. In the midst of this storm, Paul had been under the deck, and Paul, you know, hadn't been, what had been going on? Obviously, Paul had been praying, and obviously the Lord appeared to him and comforted him. So he comes up with a message directly from God. So I ask the question, when we're in storms, how can storms help us? And if you're in the adult Sunday school class, you know we're doing the Red Sea rules, and one of the things we learned this past week is God doesn't waste suffering. Okay? What do we mean by that? You know, we all suffer. And God doesn't waste that. It's not just a waste to suffer. God has something he's trying to teach us. He's trying to show us. So how can a storm help us? What happens in a storm that helps us? Well, number one, as we're going to see here, what's going on, guys? This is not... It's up there. Okay. All right. It clarifies our values, okay? And number one, to realize the worth of an anchor, we must first feel the storm. You know, what did they do in verse 29? They cast out four anchors, and they hope it holds, you know. And in the middle of the storm, you know, they cast out these anchors, and Paul verified the value of his life. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 19. How can a storm help us? Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So, what does the Bible say? We have an anchor. We have an anchor that's sure and steadfast. So, in the midst of the storm, if we realize that Christ is our anchor, who is going to hold us in the midst of that storm? Not a trick question. Who's going to hold us? Christ, okay? He's going to hold us. He's going to hold us. And friends, one thing, how can a storm help us? It helps us to remember that I belong to God. I'm God's. He's in the storm with me. He's going to help me through that storm. Paul, their angel stood by, an angel of the Lord stood by me, whose I am. The Lord stood by me tonight, and I am His. So in the midst of the storm helps us to see that we belong to God. And again, this is putting our priorities in different places. And what did we say this past week? It's interesting how this, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. It's interesting how this message goes with the Red Sea rule number two, you know. We need to realize that God is there. God is in control of us. He knows exactly where we are. We're His. And then Paul realized also that his life did not belong to him. Everything he was and everything he had belonged to God. And we need to remember that I serve God. Notice what it says in verse 22. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am. So I need to know that I am his possession. And number two, whom I serve. Not only am I his, but I serve him. Okay? Think about that dual relationship that we have with God. We are God's sons by the new birth. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are his sons. He is our father. But also, what is the relationship we have with God? He's our master. We're his slaves. We're his servants. You know, so there's that dual relationship. So rather than, and this is what we do, guys, so often, rather than complaining, rather than getting angry about the storms and the trials in our lives, we need to use them as an opportunity to focus on our core values. And as a believer, what are our core values? Our faith and our life of service to the Lord. You know, how through this trial, how can my faith be strengthened? Through this trial, how can I serve the Lord? And this is what Paul did, and it should help us. It also, though, should help to clarify our vision. It should help us to make us see the Lord and his word better. You know, God would bring them through this storm. God promised that he would bring them through the storm. And Paul had a very clear vision of safety and God's promises and blessing. And during, friends, the greatest storms in our lives, we need to clarify and deepen our convictions. Go back just a couple chapters. Chapter 23. The Lord had already appeared to Paul on his, about going, needing to be at Rome. And what did the Lord tell Paul in Acts 23:11? And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." So, God already told Paul that he needs to be in Rome. And what did God tell him? Be of good cheer. What is Paul telling these men? The same words that God told him. Be of good cheer. Because not only did God tell me, back at we just saw in 23, but in 23 verse 11, but in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. So here is the angel once again appearing to Paul and telling him, not only are you going to be okay, but everybody on the ship is going to be okay. So what did Paul have faith in? Paul had faith in God's word. So friends, how can storms help us? It helps us to remember that we are God's. It helps us to remember that I serve God. And it helps us to remember I need to trust in his word. Okay? I need to trust in his word. Because a lot of times when storms come, what do you start doing? Panicking. Trusting in other things except the Lord. You know? And, one of the things we'll see, you know, that they cut the lifeboats, you know. If you're going to trust in the Lord, you can't have a lifeboat, you know. Get a backup plan, plan B. You know, if the Lord makes a promise, there is no plan B, you know. And what was the promise to Paul? Paul, you have to go to Rome. So, of course, Paul knew he was going to make it to Rome, but then the Lord appears to him also in the midst of this storm, encourages him that you're going to make it to Rome, but you know who else is going to be safe from this storm? Everybody on the ship with you. So look at the victory of the storm. Second point, verse 30. I'm going to pick it up reading there. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the what? 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. They were in this storm for 2 solid weeks. Can you imagine that? Being caught in a storm for that long? I can't imagine that, you know. And they haven't eaten in 14 weeks. Therefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. What did he tell them? Be of what? Good cheer. And he tells them to be of good cheer. So what do you think he was displaying when he told them that? Be of good cheer. He was displaying cheer, okay? Now, this doesn't mean he was running around, you know, excited, but he was, what were most people probably doing? Panicking. You ever been in a troubling situation and people panic, you know? And, you know, that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to panic. And so be of good cheer. And they also took some meat. And when we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. Okay? Bible math, 200. How much is a score? 20. So 3 score is 60, and 16 souls. So how many people were altogether on this boat? 276, correct? 276 people. It's a lot of people. And Paul said, nobody is going to die. And when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast, remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purposes and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. Exactly how God said. Now, the victory of this storm. Friends, there is victory when we believe God's promises. Okay? There is victory when we believe God's promises. When God gives a promise, it is certain and sure, and we can depend on it with everything we have, even our lives. Paul had already claimed the victory, even before it came, while in the midst of the storm. So, again, while in the midst of the storm, Paul already claimed the victory, because they weren't on land yet. He claimed the victory. And why try to cast out your lifeboat when God has already promised deliverance, verses 30 to 32. Why try to cast out the lifeboat? Why have a plan B? You know? And there's also victory in God's protection. Isn't it interesting that God took Paul, listen carefully, God took Paul from being a prisoner to being the captain of the boat. Who are they listening to now? Who are they listening to? Paul. You know, Paul all of a sudden comes up from below deck and he gives orders and everybody's listening to him. He's telling them to eat, they eat. He's telling them as they're going to try to escape in the lifeboat, you can't do this. And the guard listens to him. They're told to kill all the soldiers and Paul says, or the guard says, no, for the sake of Paul, we're not going to do this. So Paul goes from being a prisoner to being the captain of the boat. And imagine that. And friends, can I say something? If we keep our faith during the storms, Just think of who will suddenly listen to us. Maybe you have people who don't listen to you. You think the captain, did they listen to Paul before? You know, we shouldn't go on this trip. Because if we go on this trip, it's going to be a lot of harm. And did they listen to him? No. But now they're listening to him. Why? Could it be? Because when Paul came up, after receiving the promises of God, when he came up from below deck, he was just, he showed that he had faith. His faith was showed in his actions. His faith showed how he was living. You know, if we keep our faith during the storms, just think of who will suddenly listen and possibly put you in charge. Now, I don't mean that we would be in charge of the boat, but suddenly they'll listen to you. Maybe there's a trial coming and you're in that trial for the sake of 275 other people. You know? Maybe you're going through sickness and you're going through that sickness because you need to be a witness to somebody who has that sickness also. Maybe you lose your job just like everybody else loses a job in the plant, but you handle it different. Every person on the boat made it to land just as God had promised. What's the likelihood of that really in a storm like they went through? What's the likelihood? There is no likelihood. Nobody drowned. Nobody went overboard. Nobody, you know, everybody got to shore. Nobody ran away. And people stayed around and listened. Look at Colossians. We'll wrap this up looking at Colossians. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I don't know how many of you have heard of Vance Havner, but Vance Havner is a preacher, evangelist of bygone days, not real old days, but he was a Southern gentleman. And he said this, our Lord's life was full of storm and tempest. Yet in the darkest days of all, he bequeathed to us his legacy of peace. He rests in no imaginary escape from reality, but that blessed consciousness that in the midst of trouble, our real lives are beyond the reach of circumstances because we are hid with Christ in God. So the circumstances really can't reach us because our lives are what? Hid in Christ. We're safe. We are safe. We're safe in the storm because we're God's. That does not mean that you will not go through a storm. That does not mean that you will go through a trial. But there is no storm, there is no trial where God will not be with you, where God will not lead you through to the destination where he wants you to be. Where did he want Paul to be? Rome. And, you know, we're going to see next week that he gets to Rome, eventually gets to Rome. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that one way or another they were going to be delivered, you know. And God delivered them through the fire, in the fire, you know. And maybe the deliverance for us through a particular trial, maybe the other side of that trial, maybe it's glory. Maybe it's standing on another shore, you know, which once we get there, we realize, you know what, this is pretty good, you know. And so we shouldn't fear that. So, just before we go to prayer, are you hanging on to your lifeboat or have you cut it loose? What are you hanging on in your life that when the trial comes, you can't let it go? I can't let this go. This is my safety net. You know, this is my lifeboat. We can't have that. You know, we can't have that. Now, when you go out on your boat, you know, if it's a big enough boat, have a lifeboat. If you can't swim well, have a life jacket. Don't be foolish that way. I'm talking here in spiritual application. You know, we need to have, we can't have any lifeboat, any plan B, any escape route. God's going to see us through. Is your life hid with Christ in God? You know, do you realize that your life is hid? You're safe. You know, what do kids do when they're afraid? They hide, right? Sandy had at the bank today, Sandy works at the bank, active shooter training today at the bank. You know what they told him to do? Run or hide. No. Well, our lives are hid in God. We're safe. Okay? We don't have to worry when our lives are hid with God, hid in God. And then, is Jesus your shelter in the time of storm, as we just sang? You know, remember, friends, storms will come, storms will go. And if we trust in the Lord's word and his promises, we'll get through. But a lot of times, as his children, we don't trust. And we don't get that experience of Paul, where suddenly the prisoner, the people are listening to him. You know, if we don't trust in the Lord in the midst of trial, and we act just like everybody else, why should people listen to us when we're telling them the word of God, when we're not believing it? So, is this easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. You know. So no matter what you're facing, guys, no matter what you're facing, trust God. It could be a big storm. It could be a small storm. You know, it could be a 14-day storm. It could be a 14-year storm, you know. But just keep trusting God. Be of good cheer. I believe God. And that's what we have to believe. Father, help us as your children to believe you.